Finally.
In it now.
Finally, we got Bobby. We're going to break it down with Bobby.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love that intro. And Bobby, since you asked about that intro, I will be the first to tell you this is the guy that wrote it and performed it. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. It is.
Appreciate it, brother.
Yeah.
I'll send it over to you. You said you were heading off to Oklahoma for
a
little bit.
Yeah, it's like a folk song. So, like, I have a couple of roommates doing, like, I have three roommates, two from Texas, one from North Virginia. And, like, they all love country music.
Very cool.
I don't really like country music that much, but I'll try to get into it.
There you go. Yeah. There's some good stuff. Give bluegrass a chance if you get a,
like,
you know,
Kentucky
when you get a
bluegrass.
Chance. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's good stuff.
You know, bluegrass actually helps me sleep.
No kidding.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm having a hard time sleeping, I crank up bluegrass and I fall right to sleep.
Wow.
It's the weirdest thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we can do a dive on
it's
that.
It's gorgeous music, dude.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, it's great. Oh, you know who's great? Bluegrass, who's in the news, is Saturday Night Live guy that goes along with Martin Short.
Steve Martin.
Yeah, and do you know how what a fantastic banjo player he is?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the guy's insane.
Yeah.
Insanely good.
Steve Martin was in a couple good movies. If you know Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great one.
That's the pillow.
Thunder.
For sure.
Yeah.
I grew up on his movies, man. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
The Jerk, and there's just tons of them.
So he was in the news recently. Apparently, he corrected the New York Times crossword puzzle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, because they had a thing on him that he was a member of Mensa, and so he wrote him a note saying, actually, I'm not a part of Mensa, and I've never been a part of Mensa, but anyway, for some reason,
Dad just does New York cross puzzles a lot, too, and just, like, and you know who John Candy is, one of those?
Of course.
Yeah, we've watched those movies all over, like, Summer Rental, Uncle Buck, that's my favorite personal movie of all time.
Uncle Buck?
Yeah.
Love
Uncle Buck.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What other movies do you like? Like, comedies? Is that your thing?
I like a lot of, like, war movies. Like, I watched The Pianist the other night for the first time, and then I like 1917. I like a lot
great
of war
movie.
Movies. They're all good movies.
How about Saving Private Ryan?
Oh, yeah, that's a classic.
I think that's a great one.
You ever seen The Patriot?
I watched that recently before I moved over to Irvine Terrace.
Is that the Mel Gibson
one? Yeah, Mel Gibson,
yeah.
Heath Ledger.
Yeah. Heath Ledger, too, yeah.
Was he? What's hit when he has his kid aim straight or something like that?
Something like that. I can't remember.
There. Yeah,
I just remember, like, right around that time that came out, Gladiator came out in the theaters right at the exact same time, and everybody was like, "Oh, Gladiator's the shit! Gladiator's the shit!"
Yeah.
And I went and saw Gladiator, and I was like, "Eh." And then I went and saw Patriot like 2 days later, and I was like, "Bro, that movie was
insanely good." I personally think Patriot's
good.
A lot better.
I thought so too.
That British general, like, that he's a good counterpart in
sure.
it, where he just, like, kind of mimics, like, a bad guy and just tries to, like kill off everyone and just plays the bad guy. It's a really good film.
Well, we could just
absolutely.
Keep going on. Okay,
movies,
I got one for you.
Sure.
Turn. Have you seen the show Turn?
Turn.
Turn. Have you seen Turn?
No, I haven't.
Look that up. You'll like that.
Okay.
It's, you know, George Washington, and I'm a big fan of American history, and
mm-hmm.
George Washington had this insane spy ring going. And there were spies and counter spies and counter spies to the counter spies.
Yeah.
And apparently George Washington was one of the first successful guerrilla warfare guys. And he used spycraft as one of his major tools.
Yeah, like in the Canadian-Indian War, one of those, they used the guerrilla warfare tactic to fight off the French. I mean, the French and Indian War. Like, that was their main, like, get-go from the start. Like, they liked to just hide in the trees and the bushes, and then, like, attack by ambush, and then they would win. Like, it was a 7 or 13 year war, something like that. I think it was a 7 year war.
Well, that actually is a good lead in to why I have you here. Well, there's a bunch of reasons why I have you here. We were talking about you, and we were watching your podcast. We know that you've put out a couple shows, and one of the themes that I'm interested in is how we're going to beat Newport Harbor in water polo. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to have you on. I know you have an insight into the CDM water polo team.
Yeah.
And you may have some criticisms of the way things are going and have a maybe a better plan than what's happening.
Yeah.
So give us some insight and tell us. Well, first of all, introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. I mean, Bobby Stevenson. What makes you great, Bobby?
So when I played water polo for like 9+ years, I was really good at like depicting like the counterattack and how like I played the system. I was a good system player, and like I was really good at passing and just like feeding players. And I feel like that's what Newport's really good at, too. They have a couple lefties who are really good at that. But when I played for Back Bay, I was kind of like the main guy. I know people argue with me a lot, really, like that I wasn't the main guy, but I was really the main guy there.
I love that. And, you know, I was the main guy, too, Bobby. I relate to this. Well, you mentioned, the first thing you mentioned was counterattack, and I'm big on counterattack. I'm big on anticipation. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we were talking about is guerrilla warfare, and that's what I want. Can you give us any kind of a guerrilla warfare tactics that we might be able to apply?
Basically, I'm not the fastest swimmer, but I was like one of the more explosive players. I know Lucas thinks that's not true, but it is for me because I'm in pretty good cardiovascular shape. So I mean, like being explosive, like I had a lot of short bursts of energy. So meaning I could win most of my sprints while I swam, and then I get a little bit tired. But as a player who like kind of did well on like short bursts of rest and then go right back in. And then if I sat on the bench for longer, I would get a little bit, I'd heat up a little bit more. And then last one, like Coach Rolliter used me during like the fourth quarter and the third quarter, and then he put me in and I'd play well. I had a really good shot too, but it's just more my passing and my creativity that I had. Mm-hmm. And then my defense, I was really anticipating on like how I could like attack the player, like by not swimming, by grabbing and like anticipating where they're going to pass it, and then I go off of that. So I mean, like, that's where I kind of was good at.
Well, man, you are speaking my language, and you know, one of the things I've said in almost every one of my podcasts is how I can kick Eddie's ass.
Yeah.
But it's as I walk around the hallways in the studio, everybody tells me I better not mess with Eddie because he knows the martial arts.
Yeah.
So Eddie, what makes you so special in the fighting category?
You ever notice that every time you say that, I just kind of sit here silently?
Yeah.
Which is just a little terrifying also.
I just like to, you know, just like to let you guys, you know, go on about yourselves.
No,
you know?
No, I love it.
it's very entertaining, actually, right?
So, well, Bobby, everything you've said, I relate to. Mm-hmm. And the anticipation factor, the one-on-one, and I have some critiques of Lucas myself, and one of the things that I have tried to instill in my kids, and I've mentioned it to Lucas, is a concept I refer to as RPT. Have you by chance heard Lucas mention RPT?
Can you say like the full acronym?
So the acronym is rhythm, pace, tempo, and
like golf.
Well, it is like golf, you know. It's just, mm-hmm. Gosh, so you know, it's interesting you say that because my brother has this saying that your swing should be in the tempo or the pace or the rhythm, mm-hmm. of L. McPherson or Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, like cheeseburger.
And it shouldn't be Bo Derek, that kind of thing. So is that, do you apply some of these things to water polo?
Yeah, I apply that to a lot. Because I feel like I was like, when I first came to CDM, like I feel like I was going to, I thought like to myself, maybe I should go to J. Sarah, maybe I should go to Modern Day or like a private school. Because like I felt like I was like a good role player. And I feel like I was more of a leader, but like CDM is kind of like a role player job. So I feel like I got put into the wrong, like I got put into the wrong mix. And I feel like I played for like the wrong system for the 4 years. Cause if I didn't like play for CDM, I feel like if I could go anywhere else, cause that's what all the coaches told me before I got to varsity, is that if you were anywhere else, you'd be on varsity. And I feel like CDM didn't really fit my personnel that much, and I just think like, well, it's not like they're bad coaches, it's just like the way how I played like a more European style water, mm-hmm. polo with like creativity and like passing and shooting, and that's what I was really good at. So I feel like if I went to like, I don't know, Modern Day or J. Sarah, like where they score a bunch of goals, like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'd thrived a lot there. And I know people say that like I don't like thrive in water polo, but I actually do, like in certain, because people like don't really actually know me, like when I start to get really fiery and hot, because mm-hmm. like I like to speak, I'm like a silent killer, like I don't like to Like, my dad always taught me to, like, use, and my grandpa taught me to, like, say, like use your game and play your game to your advantage and help, and that makes you, like, more dangerous. Because, like, when you see, like, basketball players, like, slam dunk, like, you see Ja Morant, like, he has a new celebration where he throws off a grenade or, like, does a little handgun. Like, some of the players in the NBA are, like, really theatrical, and I feel like whenever I scored a goal in water polo, I'd celebrate if it really, really mattered. But, like, 90% of the time, I wouldn't celebrate. I just swim silently back to the line and just play defense again.
Yeah. So it sounds like there's a system at CDM that maybe you either don't fit into or you're underestimated.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on that?
So I think Lucas was a really big swimmer guy. That's all he never knows. That's all he ever knew was swimming.
Okay.
And he came from Adam Wright, who coaches for UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I know I wasn't good at swimming, but I still had so much energy and so much fire that I would still be able to fit in and still contribute even though I was on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But even though I was on the bench, I feel like I would still contribute in those games that we lost. Because I was still in form, I could still shoot, I could still pass, but it's just like a matter of like that one like I was not making swim sets, but that doesn't even matter. Does it matter to like make a swim set in the game? Like, do you have to like swim a certain amount of like yards? Well, I mean, you swim a certain amount of yards, but do you have to like swim a certain amount of yards under a time to like get to the other side of the pool? No, like it's like a free for all. Like, you don't have to like make it under a certain time. That's what I don't like about like swimming that much, is because like it doesn't really translate. Yes, it makes you faster, but it doesn't really translate to the aspect of like countering down the pool and like actually playing the game of water polo.
Bobby,
like,
I'm getting chills. I don't know. There's, you and I think exactly alike in terms of sports and action. What is it about us? Why are we different than others? And this is something I struggle with my son who's on the team. Like, I'm constantly telling him, forget about defense.
Yeah.
Play offense. Do something to score.
Yeah.
Right? So,
that's what I was
so it
always
sounds
taught.
Like you think that,
yeah,
way too, right?
Yeah.
There's a commercial, I forget, it was like a Nike commercial or something, and they said something about this kid, and the comment was, man, you don't even let the ground touch the ball.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like, yeah, you know the commercial I'm talking
so,
about.
Yeah. So I mean, when I played, like, every coach criticized me that I was terrible at defense. And if I was terrible at defense, would I let every goal go in the game?
Right. You're thinking about offense
I'm
and defense,
thinking about
right?
offense
yeah.
the whole time.
Exactly.
Like, I'm trying to contribute to the offensive part of the game. So I feel like if there's Lucas always told me if there's 6-on-5, like, if there's 6-on-5 the whole game or front court the whole game, he would start me 100 times out of 10 out of everyone else.
I get
but
it.
But it was just, like, weird because, like, why can't you just, like, substitute me in for, like, a 6-on-5 and I can score a goal, or, like, a front court and then take me out, like, and not have me swim back and play defense?
Okay, so it sounds to me like this is a logical discussion,
yeah,
that we're having. The things that we're telling Lucas, we're looking Lucas right in the camera and saying,
yeah,
hey, we're using logic to come up with a better system.
It's all common sense.
It's
here.
A common sense system,
yeah,
that you need to attack more, right?
Yeah.
Is that the theme that I'm,
yeah,
getting out of you? Is
and
attack.
Like, it's like soccer, because like many people, like in soccer, you have forwards, midfielders, and defenders and center backs and left backs. Like, there's certain types of things that people are good at. So I feel like if CDM has like, they have like, they like they put people in different positions. Like, they put Brian Schaperstein and like Aiden Sexton into a passing category,
mm-hmm,
and they use them for like passing. And then they put Will Weir and Nate Simoncelli for like scoring. And then they put Cooper Harlan and Wyatt Lucier and like those guys for defense. I'm just throwing out names.
Sure.
But like there has to be like a certain way, like during practice, like I know, like, he likes to swim us a lot, and it does help. But I do think that, like, swimming over 2,000 to 3,000 yards is, like, completely pointless.
I agree.
You're just, like, swimming aimlessly and, like, getting tired, and then you don't have enough energy to, like, focus on, like, the rest of the training.
Sure. Well, yeah. and we have discussions a lot about conditioning, and Eddie's a singer,
yeah,
or performer, singer, and he's got to warm himself up, yeah, and he's got to practice. And we've talked about this. Perfect practice, yeah, makes perfect. Yep. We had a guest on, maybe you've heard of him, Spencer Purdy. He's a big wave surfer.
No.
And he said that one of his, the only time he gets afraid out in the ocean is when he hasn't prepared enough. He hasn't, yeah, conditioned himself.
So I'm the opposite. So when we did.
So let me guess, you're probably pretty good at one-on-one basketball, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So I have a lot of energy, and like a lot of people don't know this, but like when we did those, when we did those like game warm-ups before the game, like it would be like 1,000 yards to like 1,200. I only need like 200 to 400 yards and then start passing. Like, I don't need that a bunch of bullshit yardage to, right, make me tired through the game. And like, I know like Lucas and Chuck would make us do long warm-ups. Like, I would just get bored and like aimlessly swimming because I'd already be warmed up. And like, a lot of people like have a long time to warm up. But I feel like I just like warmed up a lot faster, and I feel like if we shorten the warm up, shorten the swim sets, we'll be able to focus in like, cause like, in the summer we'd be swimming like an hour to an hour 30 every single day, and then we'd only have like an hour 30 to focus on passing, shooting, and stuff.
Maybe we should do some scrimmaging
I feel like we focus way too much on swimming. Like, sure, it's way too much. Like, it's too much.
Okay, and you mentioned that. So in the conditioning category, what other criticisms do you have?
So going on to conditioning, the weight room. So CDM, like the last couple of years, have done this thing called the Volt program. And before,
sorry, do you know who invented this or who came up with this? Or
no, maybe? I don't. I think it's completely bullshit.
Okay.
Because I think they should just go rely on Olympic lift style lifting and like power lifting, because that's what I do in the gym and it helps me like significantly. And then
building more strength rather than, yeah, what's the Volt? What's the purpose?
It just like you do two compound lifts and then the rest are just like stretches and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like, and then I have two more things. And we do this like stupid weight room warm up like every single day. It's like at least 15 minutes off the regular weight session. So I feel like cut that. Get rid of that shit. It doesn't help you. It like makes you tired from all your lifts. And I've talked to everyone. They hate the warm up. Like,
okay,
it's always affected us in our lifts, and we can't like progress in anything because we're so tired from the lifts. And we had Captain. You just make us do the warm up for an hour, and we only have 15 minutes to do actual weightlifting. And then like the Volt, I think we should get rid of. And if we, and like whenever, and because it's stupid, because like everyone else just two compound lifts and then just walking and talking at the end of the lift, not breaking a sweat. But when I'm doing workouts like at my gym, like I'm actually breaking a set and getting like super tired because like I actually like know what lifts tire you and what, mm-hmm, actually give you more strength.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this: Do you believe in visualization?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I know Eddie does, and I, as far as I know, most successful athletes and most successful people visualize. Can, mm-hmm, you give us a little breakdown on how you prepare? So, or what? Give us, if let's say there's no Lucas, you're Lucas's assistant coach. Lucas goes on vacation for a month. What are you going to change? What's the first thing you're going to do to change the culture of the team?
So I just change like. So I'd touch off like the discipline part. I know that's a huge thing in CDM water polo, but I would, so if I had like a 3-hour practice and then a weight training, I would, so for like the first 30 minutes of the practice, we do like some light swimming, just like a lot of leg work, like just like building up the legs and getting them prepared. And then I would make them only swim like 500 yards just to get them warmed up and stuff. And then we'd move on to like the three phases of the game: counterattack, front court, 6-on-5, and 5-man. I would make them. So what Newport is really good at doing is that they're really good at creating opportunities for the other player, and they focus, and they beat us last year on 6-on-5 and counterattack and front court. Because I feel like we rely too much on counter, and then we get too tired. So I feel like we should rely more on, like, shooting the ball. Because that's how you win. Like, that's how you, like, score and, like, tie the game. Mm-hmm. Like, defense may be how you win the game. But it doesn't matter if you play good defense and you can't score the ball. Like, we need to compete with the best. We need to learn how to score, like, more opportunities. And we need to focus more on offense by itself, like, a lot more. Like, I know defense, like, when Captain always said defense and counter is, like, the best, I think it's offense and defense are the best. Like, offense, you should focus on more offense if you want to beat Newport Harbor.
Got it. Okay, so now that's, again, going back to playing offense from defense.
Yeah.
And anticipation is one of those major components. Are there any particular kids on the team that you think – let's say I'm an expert at knowing when and how to gamble on an anticipation.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you can follow this.
I'm
in the stands and I see you guarding the 3 spot or the 2 spot.
Yeah.
And I clap my hands or I whistle or something.
Like the Houston Astros from like the 2017 World
Series. Well, it wouldn't be cheating. Well, it would just be I'm on the bench. Like,
yeah.
let me rephrase this. I'm one of the coaches.
Yeah.
And I'm watching Bobby, and I know Bobby is offensive minded. I know he is a shooting machine.
Yeah.
And I just need to get him out in front of everybody. So one of the things I think about is that it's a gamble, and there's a percentage to the win of the gamble.
Yeah.
So if you flip a coin, it's, what 50, is it, 50-50,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's a 50-50
Well,
chance.
If I can get a 60-40 gamble with the result being a goal,
yeah,
would you take that?
Yeah, I would take it.
Me too, right?
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's a philosophy that, no, we wouldn't take that. It's got to be more like an 80-20.
That's what Lucas wants. Like,
okay.
I think that's completely...
So how can we change that culture?
Because
Lucas isn't going anywhere. We need to convince Lucas with logic that our way is better than his way in this regard.
Well, I mean, like, we haven't beat Newport since 2015, and we've been doing it the same way since we've been just focusing on defense and counter. So I feel like what we do is, like, Lucas focuses on the process and not results, which I think is kind of stupid, because if you're focusing on the process, so he says we focus on November, and we've made it to November, like, every single year. So we're going to make it to November. We already know that.
Yeah.
It's just, like, focusing on results. Like, we have to focus on results. Like, if you want to beat Newport, you can't focus on the process. Like, if you can focus on the process for, like, the other 2 months, but, like, once you're preparing for Newport, you have to focus on the results and how you're going to beat them.
Okay, like, so this is a mentality, right? This is what we're talking about. And if you could put a label on it, what would you call it?
I would just like, mentality wise, just like the grit. Like, honestly, I think we need to focus on more offense. And like we like for like 2 weeks in the beginning of the summer, it's just swimming in counter, which I think is just bullshit.
Mm-hmm,
we should not do that, like, for more than, like, a couple of days.
Because, okay,
like, whenever, and another thing is like, whenever, like, someone's late, like, to weight training or, like, games or, like the pool, like, pool practice, like, it's 10-200s, I think that's stupid. Because, like, you're going to get, like, what if you're, like, one of our best players,
right,
and, like, you're swimming 10-200s at the beginning of the practice, and you're just, and you can't, and you, like, go on a fast time, and you can't, like, and you're so tired after that you can't, like, do any more. And another thing is that I'm going to harp on is that that was a punishment for everything. Like, for the weight room, it should be, like, doing, like, a bunch of push-ups or, like an aerobic set, like, with push-ups, squats, and, like, sit-ups. Like, something like that that relates to the work, like, something. Or, like, whenever you're late to classroom or film session, like, you have to do something. You have to, like, spend an extra little bit on film and, like, how to, like, do that. Like, there has to be certain punishments for certain different things. You can't just have the same punishment for everything. Like, Like, it doesn't work that way.
Okay. Well, so now, again, everything you're saying makes perfect sense to me and is logical, right? Eddie, what do you think?
I think it's logical. However, I will say, you know, punishments are made to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if it's uncomfortable and you're not in your, you know, and like right now, like you would prefer a different punishment.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe that means that the punishment's fitting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? You know, in the context of punishment is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I have my.
I mean, it could be worse. It could be
punishment.
Caning. So.
Well, so I don't know if you knew this. I got mad at Willie this last weekend, and so I told him I'm going to punish you.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, well, what do you got? Because I have to be at a party in 2 hours. Right. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, I got another thing on that.
Go.
Okay. So like some athletes, like alcohol and like smoking consumption does like correlate to like how bad you play the next day in practice. Cause like I don't drink or smoke. Like I tried to fit in. I don't like it, and it ruins me. Mm-hmm. So like I knew I was performing a lot better than everyone else because I didn't do that. And like CDM does this thing called team bondings, like every single weekend, where they just like guzzle a bunch of beers and smoke, and then like the next day they're not properly recovering, and then like they're like not sleeping well either. Like I got a full 8 to 9 hours every single night before practice, and I actually benefited from that.
Yeah.
And then you have some guys like Nate Simoncelli playing video games and like drinking beers every night, just like getting 4 hours of sleep, and he's always complaining about why you're so sleep deprived. Like, no wonder you're sleep deprived. You're doing that to yourself. Like, you're affecting, like, what if Nate Simoncelli didn't drink or smoke? Like imagine how good he'd be. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you're way ahead of your time, just so you know, because when you get to be our age, it is absolutely a requirement to think this way.
Yeah.
And you just can't function if you're hungover.
Yeah.
Okay, so you mentioned sleep. Okay.
Yeah.
What about nutrition? Give us some insights on nutrition.
So nutrition for water polo, like I'm actually a lot more in cardiovascular shape and a lot fitter ever since I quit water polo because I actually like ate like I actually thought you had to eat like crap to like play well, but like I had to go to like IHOP or like some like deli before games and get like a foot-long sandwich. But now like I believe like you eat like there's this guy named Ross Edgley, like he's like a swimmer. He's like a full-on like beast in the water. Like he's swam around Great Britain in 157 days.
Okay, I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he eats for function and like formality.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to fuel your body for performance, not like eat like a cheeseburger and fries and a milkshake before a game or after a game and then like feel like crap.
Right.
Like maybe eat like chicken and like some veggies and maybe some fruit, like actually to fuel you for the next day.
Mm-hmm. And everything you say makes sense to me. What about timing for your meals? Do you have a comment on that
I eat every 3 to 4 hours. Like I like to fast too, because I like to build a lot of lean muscle and like have that good like V taper body, because I want to look good, like because like I actually like lift and I actually eat well. So like I feel like if you do those two things and you sleep well, you're gonna look good.
Yeah.
But then you have like, of course, like you're like if you have good genetics, you're gonna look good. But what if you like actually like put in the work, like nutritionally and like and sleep wise, you look at 10 times better.
Right.
Yeah.
You're ahead of your time,
yeah.
But and I just want you to know, Eddie is. The more I get to know Eddie, the more studly I realize he really is.
Yeah.
He's sitting over here shitting himself at how fucking awesome you are.
Yeah.
I just know it.
Yeah.
So okay, I wish we had 5 hours with you, but I want to get into some of the things I had prepared.
Yeah.
You're blowing me away.
And like for me, like everyone like treats me like shit on the water polo team because like I just feel like I'm a little different. Like I think differently. I act differently.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just like trying to have like a logical approach to everything.
Yeah.
And like whenever like I say something like intellectual or like something like that like a fact. Like I like to say things that to make the like makes something important, like in training or something, and like everyone just starts going, "Oh shit!" Like
right,
yeah,
right.
Like it just like doesn't make any sense, because why are you mocking someone who's making a point to trying to help you out?
Right, right. Well, and as we know, kids can be brutal.
Yeah,
and it doesn't change. Adults can be brutal also, and bosses and everybody. But,
yeah.
Well, before we started the show, you mentioned a book with David Goggins. What was that book?
It's called Living with a Seal for like 30 Days with Jesse Itzer and David Goggins.
Okay.
And what he basically does is he met David Goggins at like a track meet in San Diego. Like they were running around this parking lot, and David Goggins was running to this next to this Asian lady, and like Jesse Itzer was there with like five other guys doing like a 24-hour marathon, and David Goggins was just here like with one person himself, and like, dude, I need to meet this guy. Like, who is he? I want to see what he does.
Huh.
So like he's on the West Coast and Jesse's on the East Coast, and he makes this call and says, "Hey, I want to meet up." And he said, and then David Goggins says, "Under one condition, you have to do everything I say and everything I want, and then we'll meet for 30 days." So that's basically what it is. And then it doesn't correlate to diet, because Jesse Itzer has his own vegetarian diet. But like he just gets his ass kicked with like all this physical work and stuff. It's a really good book to read.
Well, we'll highlight that. And
yeah.
Okay, so I want to go also to your podcast and talk about that. But I do want to talk more about Lucas and the water polo team, because I mean it's just you've got some great insight there. Mm-hmm. So let's say Lucas let you and I coach, and he just took a sideline and. How many days do you think it would take me and you to transform the team into a program that could beat Harbor? And do you believe that the CDM has the personnel, the intrinsic talent to beat Newport?
Yes.
They're pretty stacked,
right? They are stacked, but keep in mind that Newport, I feel like Newport is recruiting some way illegally, and I think CIF needs to investigate. Because there's like my dad talked to me about this, because like I believe CDM has better people, better academics, a better pool, better weights, and then like Harbor has worse academics, worse people. Like you're literally just going to Harbor just to play water polo.
Right.
Like if you go to CDM, you're actually gonna be like more successful person. And I feel like that Newport, like people are only go to Newport to play water polo and win a championship, because like that's what they only care about. Like I chose CDM because I actually want to be like successful in life.
Sure.
And like you don't play water polo for 100 years, and like you don't play like there's no really professional outlet to play water polo except for the Olympics and like National League, which you don't get really paid for. So I mean like there's like and water polo's not that big of a sport. So, like people like they're just trying to play for college, and then like once they go to college they'll just like drink and party all day and like not focus on school.
Do you think Harbor might be a little overconfident, and that might give us a little bit of an edge?
Yeah. So I mean no one's perfect, and like Harbor aren't robots. Like there's some way like you can piss people off like while you play them. Like Connor Roll, he's a hothead. So
get him to punch you.
Like get him to punch you. Like I would actually like if I scored a goal on him, I'd scream in his face and flex on him to get him to punch me and get him out of the game.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. We have got to get
I was just thinking about that like yesterday. Like if I could like come back to CDM and play like actually start in a game. Like I would play for my team, but I would also play like a way to like dissect the other players and make them like angry about themselves and make them like get like angry to the other teammates and like find a way to like just attack. Like that's like my mentality is find a way to like grind down someone like so much they get so frustrated and they just quit.
Okay, now and I'll go back to some of the things you talked about with conditioning, and one of my philosophies and one of the things I tell Willie all the time is you torture people by swimming them. So you talked about the conditioning part of it, but during the game one of my one of my techniques for wearing you down is when I can kind of get a sense that you want me to slow down, that there's does that make sense?
Yeah.
When you're swimming with somebody, you kind of get a sense like, oh, maybe if we both just slow down, we can both take a breath right now.
And then you just go. But another thing I have about that is you're not swimming for 25 minutes like straight. Like you're not doing that. Like you're going to pass at some point. You're going to play defense at some point. You're going to be sitting like in your position at some point. You're not swimming the whole time.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. But you, I believe, would be the perfect person to break down my RPT philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now this is going to sound weird, but do you believe in the Force, like in Star Wars?
The Jedi Force? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I really do believe in it.
Yeah.
Okay. RPT is the Force in reality. It's just called, it's the Force. Okay.
Yeah.
But the Force, the way I describe the Force is the space between actions. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I punch you, right, that punch is the action. That's the thing. But what is happening between the times?
Maybe there's gonna be three options. Like the guy's gonna punch back, the guy's gonna cry, or he's gonna walk away. Like there's like you're not gonna be punching someone like for 24 hours straight. You're not gonna go like this. Like
exactly.
This.
Okay. So in my scenario is say I get to Eddie and I kick Eddie. So I get to Eddie, I kick him. Now I'm planning on punching you. So I have to get to you. I have to
wind up. What am I doing in that time?
What I'm saying is it's the space between the time, the actions that I'm doing. So kick, punch. What happens in between? That's RPT.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I really think you could help with Lucas, because all I had to do is tell Lucas, okay, this RPT is rhythm, pace, tempo. Okay.
Yeah.
It's an index. You can look at somebody and say, oh, it's a high or low. And in music, you have the same thing. And your bandmates may have a different RPT. But it's not just a high or low, it's an optimal RPT, is kind of what I'm getting at. So, anyway, I'd like to.
One of the biggest criticisms I have about Lucas is that you can never argue with him. Like you can never state your case with him. Like he's just this thing where he goes like, no. Like it's either yes or no.
Right.
Like what if you could like state your case and like he actually listens to you? Cause like he's like a believer and like he just like listen to me, like I'm the dictator and like stuff.
Yeah.
I don't think that's like really like a good idea.
Okay, I do believe he's listening. But I believe he's understanding. What I also believe is that he's got so much going on that he might not have time to respond to every comment or criticism that you have at the time, right? And it's hard to, and he could say something about this, is it's hard sometimes when you're a leader and you have one of your subordinates teaching you things, right?
Yeah.
Right, too. Well, there's the thing, too, like... I don't know Lucas, and I don't know the situation that well, but I will say, like, as far as like filmmaking goes, when you very first start, like your first day on a movie with the whole crew, the director usually says something along the lines of, because you're going to be working in close quarters for long days at a time, and you have to get as much done as humanly possible the correct way. So the director will say, they have a meeting, and they'll say something along the lines of, everybody's going to, listen to me, my way is going to go, I know everybody here is very creative and everybody wants to have an opinion. However, like I said, we have this amount to do in this amount of time. So if you have something that's, you need to tell somebody, talk to my first AD. But other than that, what I say goes, let's stay on schedule.
Exactly.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how, so I'm just saying like in a leadership and a management role, when you have, so many things weighing in the balance of your care.
Yeah.
You sometimes have to kind of like tighten and button all that up. And maybe that comes from other times when he was listening to other people and like two, three, four people were in his ear and all of a sudden he's just like, no more of that shit.
Right.
Like,
you know, the difference between making a movie and winning the water polo game or any game, I don't have to tell you, is that you can do as many takes as you want to get a scene right, right?
Not necessarily. Okay, I get it.
But what I'm getting at is
but yes, you're right. There are multiple takes. Yes,
is come up with a new philosophy. Tell me if I'm wrong. the philosophy we have now with the program is defense, 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 prevent scoring.
Yeah.
We are saying let's take the opposite approach because we're looking for something we don't have.
I got another thing. So, like, when I played, like, last year for high school, like, in our varsity season, like, he said, like, Lucas said, like, we have to find more ways to, like, play defense but and, like, stop the opponent. But I feel like one thing we didn't do is we didn't, like, spend more time on offense because, like, that's how you score. And, like, he says like, oh, we have limited chances in the game. You don't have limited chances. You could sit – you could play offense a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like we're kind of, like, wasting the clock. Like, you can't really use the whole clock because, like, what if, like – like, let's say there's a minute left in the game and you use, like, 20 seconds, you don't score. And, like, we use, like, the 25-5. Right. You should be able to score in those 20 seconds. So what I feel like we should be doing is we should try to, like, get the most opportunity, play the most offense we can to score the most goals in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah, I agree. And tell me if I'm wrong, but we see a lot of the players just sitting around waiting for somebody else to do something.
Yeah.
And me and you are making the decision right now. I'm saying to myself, I'm going to do something right now. I'm going to do something to score or put my teammate in a position to score.
Yeah, and, like, there's a couple of chances where, like, Lucas didn't play me and I knew I could score there. Right. Like, there's this one – there's two times. Like, I was – like, in 16U, we were down to playing in this – JOs, we were playing down in this game. We were down by one with like 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Yeah. And I was on the bench coming out. And no one – our plan was to go through Cooper Harlan and stuff. And no one was actually really contributing. And we were trying to run like center. And I just decided to like swim in and just post up. And I scored.
Mm-hmm.
And like just like that. So I did it myself.
Right.
And then like another – and then like another time. And then I scored the game-winning goal and so on.
Love it.
But then like when we're in season, like in JOs, like the year after, like he decides to put Tyler Martins to who's sick, has pneumonia, and put him in the game and shoot a penalty when I scored a goal that game and I actually contributed to the game and I actually know how to shoot a 5 meter.
Yeah.
And like he never put me in for 5 meters. Like I believe I literally could score on anyone.
Okay, so we've spent a lot of time criticizing Lucas.
Yeah.
And the only reason we're limited on time is because your mom needs her car back, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, what I do want to talk about is your podcast. But just real quick, tell us a little bit about what Lucas is doing right.
Okay, so what he's doing right, well, like, he's teaching us to be, like, better people, I feel like. So, like, he's, like, making us focus on academics. Like, he's making us focus on how we can, like, be a better person.
And that would be a benefit for coming to CDM
and
being more well-rounded than just going to Newport Harbor to play water polo.
Like, Lucas teaches you how to be a better person and, like, how to, like, be, like, good to your teammate. Like,
sure.
like he always gets mad at us for, like, when someone says something, like, mean or derogatory mm-hmm. towards others. Like, he stops practice and makes you apologize.
Helping so
you
would build agree, men.
You would agree Lucas is a good dude.
Yeah, he's
very, very good man, good guy.
Yeah.
We just have a few things that we want to turn the dial here.
Yeah, and then we want to turn the dial here. We'd be the best team in the country.
Absolutely. And I excuse me. And I think he could be the best coach in the country as well. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he's got those leadership qualities. Okay, so, Bobby, we talked about the book Mindset. Did you read it? And did you relate to it? And
the book Mindset.
Forget that. But the concept, the word Mindset.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you hear that word when you're talking about mindset?
What's mindset? Like, I feel like it's like kind of like a plan. Like, you plan your day, and like I feel I'm like a firm believer in like getting things done early. Like mm-hmm. be early. Like that's my main motto is be early.
Mm-hmm.
So like I took a day off from school yesterday because I wanted to get ahead and work. So what I did is I did a a history project that's 3 weeks, that's due in 3 weeks. And I didn't have anything else to do at school. Because, like, if I went to school, I'd just be sitting on my ass and doing nothing, mm-hmm. like, just sitting through lectures and doing nothing. But if I stayed home, I could, like, get a project done under the radar. And then, like, I'm probably going to do good on it because I actually spent the time on it. So, I think that day off benefited me, you know?
Well, you know, what you just described is this book. And I brought you the book as a gift. And it's something that actually changed my life. And it talks about planning your day and doing the hardest things first. Yeah, having a routine.
Yeah.
But the thing that kind of just jumps out at me is I understand you just turned 18.
Yeah.
And what kind of future plans you have for work and business and that kind of thing?
So I love sports. So I'm going to study sports business at University of Oklahoma. And then Barry Switzer called me like a couple weeks ago trying to get me linked up with a job there. So I'm going to start with that. But like I'm purely going to focus on academics and how – and I might minor in like some sort of marketing or something. But like I really want to be like an analyst for like a sports team and like be like a scout or something because I'm actually really good at that and like I can really help people.
Yeah.
Like not really be a coach but like be a person on the inside and just like try to like help people like and give something like something informative like write reports and stuff. Like I'm good at that.
You know, Tom Telesco. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, the GM for the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing now, but you know, he started off as an analyst.
Yeah,
and then look what kind of success he has. Yeah. I see you as a general manager of a big
really?
Franchise. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I was gonna say.
But
I'm always speaking for Eddie, but he always agrees with me.
I do.
Speak for him.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna speak for Eddie again. And say,
just assume it's what's in my head is what's coming out of his mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Here's what I have to say is. We're both going to want to work for you someday.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You're going to be the boss and we're going to have our applications.
Yeah.
Would you just keep us in mind and hire us? Would you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because I do. My dad has great connections. He knows the general manager. He knows the manager of the Yankees, Aaron Boone.
Well, let's say you're 20. I'm however old I am. And, and so you're going to be. You're probably going to be a GM in the next 10 years,
yeah.
is what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
So I think we're still going to, or at least you're definitely going to be within working years. And I'll be towards the end, but I'd like to take a salary cut, actually, and just so I can be part of the show
like,
with you.
I'm
okay?
Like, for me, like, I've never been really good at math, but I've been really good at, like, thinking and, like, philosophical thinking.
Yeah.
And, like, science-based terms and, like, history. Like, I'm good at that. I'm not really good at math, and that's, like, my main struggle. But I feel like if I was, like, a GM or something, I'd probably be really good at what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to Oklahoma? This is
University of Oklahoma.
Okay, so, God, is that anywhere near New York City? Or how far away is New York City from Oklahoma?
Like, a drive, I'd say about, like, 20 hours.
Okay. 20 hours, yeah, because I don't know, does Oklahoma City have any big sports franchises?
Okay, so,
I mean, I feel like you belong in New York or Los Angeles.
Yeah,
I mean, there's really nothing in between.
So they have down south, they have the Dallas Stars, the Texas Rangers, Dallas Cowboys, and then...
The Cowboys,
And then they have the Oklahoma City Thunder, which are the number one seed, the best team in... basketball this year.
Okay.
Who played tonight?
Have you seen the show Landman?
No.
Okay. There's a great show, and there is a great scene in this show. Did we talk about this on another podcast?
We did.
Okay. Jerry Jones walks into this scene and gives this guy the secret to life. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw a suggestion out to you is get a hold of Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones will love you. He will hire you. He will make you the GM of the Dallas Cowboys. And then maybe Eddie and I can do our podcast.
So I actually might have a connection to Jerry Jones, like in some sort of way.
I want to meet him.
So my grandpa like knows Barry Switzer really well, and Barry Switzer actually coached for the Dallas Cowboys in 1994 and won a Super Bowl.
Right.
And I have Barry Switzer's number on my phone, so meaning like and he probably does know Jerry Jones because Jerry Jones has owned the Cowboys for a while,
right?
So I mean, like, I don't really know. I have a connection to OU football, USC football,
right? I know probably your dad had a cup of coffee a wide receiver?
Yeah, wide receiver.
And he played a little special teams.
He was good. He was really fast.
Right
yeah
Okay. Oh man. We can't end this.
No. Before we end, I have to say something. So something jumped out at me during this podcast. A couple of times you said something, and it kind of struck me as a little. You know, I just kind of struck me. I was like something I observed. Two or three times you said, in the middle of talking about your skills, you would throw in this comment about. You would say, "Oh, I'm fairly good at this, or I'm fairly good at that." And you were talking in confidence about something you know you're good at.
Yeah.
And then you would follow it up with, "I know that this person doesn't think I'm good at that, or I know that this person doesn't think I'm good at that, or the team doesn't think I'm good at that." Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't fucking matter, dude. Yeah. Their opinions are.
They don't matter.
No, that's correct.
That fires me because I feel you. Because like when I'm in the gym and I'm deadlifting or like doing bicep curls, like I imagine like I'm like for deadlifts, I'm imagining I'm picking a weight up and they're like standing on the bottom, like I'm on the top of the Empire State Building and I'm just dropping that weight and they're squashing their heads.
Yeah.
Or like
Well, damn.
Yeah, I just like whoever like bullies me or like something
of
like
course.
I just think of like that way. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so Eddie taught me this word, and I texted it to you. Is what's the intent? What's
intent.
Your intent? Right. I really, really appreciated that lesson, and so I'm thinking about that all the time. What's my intention? What am I doing this for? Why?
Yeah.
And with your podcast, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? And who are you trying to reach? What's your intention?
I'm just doing it for like myself for public speaking because I've never really been good at public speaking, and then I'm trying to help people like mentally like trying to heal them like who are athletes because like some people struggle with, like mentally and depression and stuff like I did too. Like I want to like help people like go like who go through that just to like. Be a better person and like how you can connect to God through it, like who God's plan can help you with it too. Mm-hmm. And then like I also speak about like what I went through so like people can build off of that and like know what to do whenever they need like something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Is that the bell?
That's the bell.
Oh.
That's the bell. Well, okay, Bobby.
It's been an hour already?
You are so by fast. Far my favorite guest, by far.
Okay.
And I can't imagine ever having a guest ever again.
Yeah, I'll do it again.
Bro.
You need your own.
You have so much to
you
say.
You are the man.
Do not sell yourself short on public speaking. You continue this podcast, brother. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing what
you
put out, bro.
I'm looking forward to it. I really believe with your help, and if Lucas would just kind of just listen to you a little bit, I really, and me, so we'll double team him. And we'll hit them up and try to flip it into more offense.
Yeah.
And
like I've also been trying to like figure out like this podcast. Cause I don't like really know how to start it, but I'm just like trying to talk and like start it that way.
Yeah.
But I don't really have a lot of time. Like I can only like I only go to school 3 times a week, and like some of the guys I want to talk to are like teachers and like coaches too.
Right. Right.
So I mean, like it's kind of a little hard to do that.
Well, I can speak for Eddie again and say that we will support you in any way, and we are huge fans of yours, and anything we can do to promote you and help you.
I'd love
let
like,
us know.
I love
yeah,
the, I love
for
the
sure.
Help.
Ryan, that was legit. You, yeah, absolutely. I agree with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And is there anything you want to
great kid, great guest
that we missed? Is there anything you want to throw out there?
I just like kind of need a little boost on like my podcast. So I can get it started like even further.
Well, one of the things that we've I'm learning about the process of how all the mechanics of it works. And there's something that I just learned called collaboration and that you collaborate. And so what we'll do is we'll get you, these segments from this interview, you post it on yours, and then you collaborate with the studio then effectively promotes that.
Because I want to like continue this podcast at Oklahoma and maybe like interview some athletes there too. Like maybe some football players or basketball or baseball players.
Oh, yeah, man. I manage production here at Pacific Lens. So if you ever have any questions, Ryan, you have my number. You can go ahead and give him my number. If you have any questions about like tech stuff or music or production stuff like that, I'm more than happy to help walk you through some of this
stuff. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And we're going to have you back.
Yeah. I'd love to be back. So, actually, I'm going to be in Europe for a month probably. So, I'm here, like, for the next 6 weeks just doing my own thing, like, doing school. But, like, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and the weekends. Well, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I have school and stuff and work.
Well, let me ask you a question. Sorry to interrupt you because we're running out of time. We've run out of time.
Yeah.
Is if you were to bring – if you could bring one guest in here with you, who comes to mind?
Like, anyone in the world?
Anyone in the world, exactly.
Oh, probably my grandpa.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he played football under Barry Switzer for 3 years starter.
And he had a lot to say about it. Okay, second choice. Not family. Not family.
I'd say, like...
Okay, how about no sports people either?
Shoot, this is a hard question. probably Hayden Rolletter.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because me and him relate, like, we're like yin and yangs. Like, we have, like, our good similarities.
You guys
and,
get
like,
along?
We get along very well.
Well, he's a sports guy.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll give you that. But all I know is sports. As a person, you think Rolletter would be an excellent co-host or
I was going to try to, like, get him on my podcast soon, but he hasn't really had any time yet.
Yeah, he would be great. I'm interested. Yeah. He's got a lot to say, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really impressed with you, and like I said,
I'd love to do this again.
Yeah,
too.
I think in about 10 years you're going to see my resume, and I just want you to remember me and consider put me on some sort of a committee
or
something like that.
And if there's like any chance I could do this again, I'd love to do it like in the next couple weeks too.
Absolutely, sure. We'll make it happen.
Yeah, cool.
For sure, Bobby. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bobby.
Appreciate you so much, brother.
Thanks to our host Ryan. My name is Eddie. Thanks to our guest. You guys are amazing. Thank you guys for watching. We'll catch you next week.
Oh, hey, wait. Can I do a tagline? Can I have Bobby do a tagline?
Do it.
Okay, Bobby. This is what I want you to say for the camera. You look in the camera and you say, "Remember, I before E." Except in Weir Winds.
Oh. Remember, I before E, except in Weir Winds.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a great day, guys.